In doing good, let us not grow tired, for in due time we shall reap if we do not give up. While we have time, let us do good to all men. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes, my friends, trying to do the right thing for ourselves or for others, those entrusted to our care, is hard. Trying to swim against the current is certainly tiring and sometimes exhausting. Trying to lead a virtuous life in an environment often filled with vice can be discouraging. Trying to maintain a certain form of at least courtesy, if not charity, with people in complete opposition with what we believe and cherish the most, what we know to be true and liberating, can be extremely difficult today. And yet, the message remains the same. In doing good, in doing what is good, let us not grow tired. Or literally, according to the Latin word deficiare, let us not give up, surrender, desert, or withdraw from, fail in such a noble task. Many believe that since Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians at a time when he was still in Ephesus and in the middle of an extremely busy apostolate with lots of tribulations and difficulties attacking him from all parts, the reason of his letter is very similar to the one he will write to the Romans when he had to deal with Jews, converted Jews, but who were still very much attached to their customs and belief despite their Christian baptism. He had to also deal, whether in Rome or Ephesus, with many pagans who converted, but still not very convinced about the centrality of Christ, the fact that salvation can only come through Christ and through His cross, His message. So in that very tense environment, with many divisions among Christians, St. Paul reaffirms the consequences of Christ's death and resurrection. That's, my dear friends, one opinion. Unfortunately, there's a second opinion, according to Don de Latte. Don de Latte, an excellent reference for modern exegetic, who believes that St. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians while in Thessalonica, where he was with Titus in his apostolate there. And there he wishes to warn those first Christians of the dangers coming from that Galatian spirit, more kind of Eastern, Middle Eastern spirit, often versatile, unstable, and too easily influenced by false preachers, false prophets, false apostles. In any case, in his letter, St. Paul remains profoundly Christocentric, Christ at the center, and the cross remains the key to understand the treasures of his teaching. The cross remains at the center of Christianity. It is through the cross that the world was saved. It is through it that the Spirit is given to us. It is through it that creation is reborn. It is through the cross that we have been redeemed from the slavery of sin, that we have become free, and we now live a new life through our baptism. So, my dear fellow, the message is clear and simple. We must do what is good, and to do what is good means to accept sacrifices. Christ, in an act of perfect and infinite goodness, gave his life on the cross for our salvation. Therefore, let us imitate his example. And the month of September has already given us a few opportunities to contemplate this reality of the cross, both in the celebration of Our Lady of Sorrows and last weekend, the celebration of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. So now that we have some of the historical context, let's consider the moral and spiritual teaching of today's epistle. While we have time, while we have time, let's do good to all men. How profound is this simple exhortation? And it is important that we do not fail, says Saint Thomas Aquinas, because we hope for an eternal and unfailing reward. And always with the same genius and simplicity, one of my favorite saints, Saint Augustine, to exclaim, "If a man puts no limit on his works, God will put none on his reward." So in using the word works, Saint Augustine wishes to signify anything done in view of the end for which man was created, heaven, and the merit we also receive from the good we perform. So here, good, works, and merit are inseparable. And by merit, we understand the supernatural value that our actions have both when in a state of grace, very important, and when done with a supernatural intention in view of our salvation of heaven. So again, for an action to be meritorious, one must have at least that remote or virtual intention of doing it in view of his sanctification. Remote, so when you wake up in the morning, try to remind to yourself that all your actions of the day, thoughts and words, should be according to that end for which we were created, heaven, to serve God, to glorify him through all our actions. That's the bare minimum. And then during the day, renew that same intention as often as possible. First, the second point is without any obstacle to that sanctification. That is, without being in the state of a mortal sin. Otherwise, despite having the best dispositions in the world, if in the state of mortal sin, our actions lose all their merit, all their value, since there would be then a contradiction or an incompatibility, an opposition between our choice to reject God in the evil action we have done, the mortal sin we have committed, and on the other side, his desire to reward our fidelity. Fidelity to him and to his divine design. Conflict, contradiction, impossibility. So every good act, freely done and with the conditions we mentioned, supernatural intention and presence of sanctifying grace, no mortal sin, when our actions are done according to these conditions, they become threefold. The first aspect is meritorious, as we said. It allows me to purchase my ticket to heaven. The second aspect is satisfactory. Satisfactory in the sense that they allow me to pay off the debt contracted by my own fault because of the sins I have committed. And I'll try it for the third time here with this difficult word. Impetratory, imperare in Latin, to command, to ask something. The third aspect, as these actions, according to the two aspects we mentioned earlier, supernatural intention and state of grace, sanctifying grace, they also become impetratory as they constitute a request to the divine mercy for new graces. We ask for more graces. Threefold aspect: satisfactory, meritorious, and impetratory. And so everything, and when looking in particular at our actions towards our neighbor, as we're encouraged in today's epistle, everything, every act done for our neighbor with these conditions, under these conditions, participates directly in that goodness of God, and then glorify him. God is the object of our good actions, because he deserves infinite praise and glory. And because he's God, because he's infinite, because our actions participate to his goodness, then there can be no limit in doing good. There can be no limit in doing good. And the rightful measure of our love to God, affirms another great saint, Saint Bernard, is to exceed all measure. For God, the object of our love, being infinite, how can we weigh or measure what we owe to Him in love? Moreover, our love is not a free offering. We often have this misconception of our love for God, our good actions, as simply a free offering. No, it is not a free offering. It is the payment of a debt. And this is why St. Francis de Sales could conclude and make it his own motto for life. The measure to love is to love without measure. The measure to love is to love without measure. So what makes our acts meritorious? How can all the acts I perform, putting aside the two conditions that we mentioned, how can these acts allow me to pay for my ticket to heaven? Our cooperation with God, the fact that we cooperate, we work with God, gives the simplest act in our lives the possibility to merit eternal life. Our cooperation with God gives the simplest act the possibility to merit eternal life. Think about it. What a tremendous consolation for us. And the closer then we are to the heart of Jesus, the more value will be given to that act, since it will participate more closely to the love of God. So let's strive for greater holiness in our lives, persevering in our efforts and combats. Since yes, my dear friends, we can truly affirm that if we possess a higher degree of grace, and we are worth more in the eyes of God than those who have less, we please Him more. We please Him more, and on this account, our actions are nobler, our actions are more agreeable to God, and therefore our actions are meritorious, as spiritual theology teaches. This is why, in doing good, let us not grow tired, for in due time we shall reap if we do not give up. While we have time, let us do good to all men. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.